Bilateral disc edema in familial Mediterranean fever. Introduction. Familial Mediterranean fever, FMF, MIM249100, or recurrent polycerositis, is an autosomal recessive multisystem disease with incomplete penetration manifested by self-limited episodes of fever accompanied by painful attacks affecting the abdomen, chest or joints, and sometimes a skin rash. It is most prevalent in people of Armenian, Sephardic Jewish, Levantine Arabic and Turkish ancestry. It was first recognized as a distinct nosological entity only in 1947. It's caused by mutations in gene MEFV on the short arm of chromosome 16. Ocular involvement is rare in FMF. Episcleritis, optic neuritis, retinal colloid bodies, ophthalmoparesis and prolonged latencies of the visually evoked potentials have been reported in FMF. Case report. A 23-year-old single Arab female of Palestinian ancestry presented in the eye department of Mohammad Dusari Hospital with complaints of not seeing well with her current glasses for the last few weeks. Her best corrected visual acuity was 6x9 and 6x12 in right and left eye respectively. She read all the Ishihara plates with each eye. Slit lamp examination of both anterior segment was unremarkable. Both pupils were reacting to light without any afferent pupillary defect. Fundus examination after dilation of pupil revealed bilateral overt disc edema. Her BMI was 27.5 kg per m square. There was no past history of diabetes mellitus or hypertension. She denied any past or present history of headache. She reported recurrent episodes of pain in abdomen and extremities along with fever since childhood. These episodes used to last for 2 or 3 days. During an episode, the pain in extremities hampered her day-to-day activities. She was diagnosed to have familial Mediterranean fever, that is FMF. However, she was not taking any regular medication. Further interviewing her revealed that episodes of similar nature occurred in other family members in the last 3 generations. Interestingly, her grandmother was erroneously operated for appendicitis during an episode of FMF. Her complete blood counts, erythrocyte sedimentation rate, urine analysis, fasting blood sugar, serum electrolytes, serum calcium, blood urea, serum creatinine, liver function test, TSH, T3 and T4 were within normal limit. Anti-nuclear antibodies were not detectable. Detailed neurological examination of this patient to elucidate her bilateral disc edema was not rewarding. Contrast-enhanced computerized tomogram with a CT scan of brain was performed to exclude a marked lesion or sinus thrombosis causing the bilateral disc edema. The only abnormal finding noted was the enlargement of optic nerve sheaths bilaterally. CT scan of optic nerve excluded the possibility of buried optic nerve drusen mimicking papilloedema. Despite thorough repeated history and detailed systemic neurological examination, I was unable to pinpoint any etiological factor that may cause or need further investigation to rule out as a cause for bilateral disc edema present in my case. Bilateral disc edema in the clinical settings of normal ocular, neurological and systemic examination along with normal neuroimaging was thought of probably due to pseudotumor cerebri. Lumbar puncture to document the opening pressure of cerebrospinal fluid was refused by the patient. Treatment was commenced with tablet acetazolamide 250 mg 4 times a day. 3 weeks later, while on tablet acetazolamide, her disc edema was regressing but visual acuity remained the same. The discussion. This patient suffering from FMF presented with complaints of blurred vision and bilateral disc edema with no detectable cerebral mass lesion. She did not suffer from headache, which is in contrast to the majority, that is 94% to 99% of patients suffering from pseudotumor cerebri. Most of the patients suffering with pseudotumor cerebri are young female, either overweight or have a history of recent weight gain. None of these features were documented in my patient and additionally, she denied taking any medication that could have been responsible for her visual findings. This disease was noted in her previous 3 generations and interestingly, all affected members were females. Pseudotumor cerebri in a patient suffering from FMF was reported by Gokalp et al. However, their patient presented with headache. Their patient was normal weight female and all her relevant laboratory and radiological parameters were normal. They did not comment about the similar disease in other family members. Enlarged optic nerve sheath have been reported in various studies in patients with pseudotumor cerebri and it seems to represent a direct consequence of long-term increased pressure in CSF spaces. One study correlated the cerebrospinal fluid opening pressure with the diameter of the optic nerve. I presume that the enlarged optic nerve sheath in my case represent the radiological evidence of high cerebrospinal fluid pressure. This case has one limitation. The cerebrospinal fluid pressure, one of the DANTI criteria, was not documented in this patient as she refused for lumbar puncture. It's not possible to say categorically that pseudotumor cerebri was due to FMF. The coexistence of two may be purely coincidental. However, I believe that bilateral disc edema in this patient was due to FMF and wanted to report this observation with a view to promote awareness and hopefully to stimulate further research to elaborate the relation between pseudotumor cerebri and FMF. Conclusion. This report highlights that provisional diagnosis of pseudotumor cerebri should be considered for deteriorating vision of recent onset in a patient suffering from familial Mediterranean fever. Acknowledgement. I wish to acknowledge the valuable suggestion and comments of Dr. Vijay Sharma, MRCP, Consultant Neurologist, National University Hospital, Singapore, in the preparation of this manuscript. Editorial comment. Familial Mediterranean fever, FMF, is a disease of many faces. Almost all the organs are somehow affected. Visual and central nervous system involvement, however, is not common. In the present case, fundoscopic findings show bilateral papilloedema and the physical findings propound a possible high intracranial pressure, ICP, which may be diagnosed as pseudotumor cerebri, PC, despite lack of lumbar puncture. The enlargement of optic nerves on CT scan in this case is interesting and can explain the papilloedema following an increased ICP. The enlarged retrobulbar optic nerve most probably exerts anteroposterior compression on the globe evidenced by the posterior scleral flattening associated with idiopathic intracranial hypertension. Madel and Connors neuroimaging study shows significantly shorter axial length of the eye globes in patients with idiopathic intracranial hypertension compared with the control subjects. It has been shown to be correlated with intraocular pressure, IOP. A measurement of the IOP could also be helpful as an easy and non-invasive test in evaluation of this patient. Although the presumptive diagnosis of PC questions the validity of this paper to some extent, a possible correlation or even coincidence of FMF, visual problems, and increased ICP is very interesting and deserves attention.